Okay, the next dinim in Maicholos Asuris of forbidden foods is what's called basar v'chalav, meat and milk. Now we find in the Chumash, the Torah says three times, Leisevashel gedi b'chalev imei, the same half a pasuk, so to speak. Not to cook a goat in its mother's milk. So the Gemara says, why does the Torah say it three times? Do not cook. But the same pasuk, exactly the same wording three times. So the Gemara says, one din is to teach us like this. You're not allowed to eat it. You're not allowed to cook it. And you're not allowed to benefit from it. So the fact that the Torah says three times, don't cook meat and milk together, it's not to teach us the same pasuk three times. It teaches us three halachas. You're not allowed to eat meat and milk. You're not allowed to cook meat and milk. In other words, even if you're just cooking for a non-Jew and you're going to cook meat and milk, you're transgressing a negative commandment in the Torah of not cooking meat and milk together. And the third thing, you're not allowed to even benefit from it. Now, because we learned previously that chicken and milk is according to three different opinions in the Gemara, but the halacha is that chicken and milk, the halacha is like the Tana that said, like the Chachamim, that chicken and milk is only rabbinically forbidden. Therefore, it's not forbidden to cook it, and it's not forbidden to benefit from it. But another din of benefit, and I'll explain to you where it's very practical, especially in California, and that is the only time you're not allowed to benefit or cook meat and milk together if it's a kosher animal, not shechted, but a kosher animal together with milk. But if somebody, let's say, would cook milk and pig, then you don't get the sin of cooking, and you're allowed to benefit from pig and milk together. But if it would be cow and milk, then you'd get a sin for cooking, and you get a sin for benefiting. And benefiting, as we said, is biblical, because the Torah says clearly, like the Vashul Gadi. What?
The law says you're not allowed to cook it together. What does that have to do with eating it?
With eating it? Because the Gemara says the purpose, really, of cooking is to eat. So the Gemara elaborates on that. I don't want to get into a whole thing in the Gemara.
What if you don't cook it and have it without cooking?
You can't, you're not allowed to. I understand, but the Gemara says the fact this was accepted from Moshe Rabbeinu in Torah Shebaal Peh. The fact that the Torah says the pasuk three times teaches us not to cook, not to eat, and not to benefit from it. A lot of times, if people have cats or dogs, if you look in the dog food or in the cat food, there's actually meat and milk together in the food of the dog food or the cat food. Now, you have to know, if the meat used in the dog food is from a cow, then you can't give it to your dog to eat, because then you're benefiting from meat and milk together. If they don't use a kosher animal, they use, let's say, pig's meat with milk, then you can give it to your animal to eat. But this is a very practical din, but not benefiting from cooking meat and milk together. Or he mentioned another, and there's a few reasons why you wouldn't be able to do it anyway. Is somebody allowed to cook in a non-kosher restaurant? Or a bigger problem is, those that go to culinary school to learn how to become a chef, unless if you go to a kosher frum company, you can't go to culinary school to learn how to cook. Why? Because every time in the cooking that they're teaching you, it's meat and milk together. The goyim cook meat and milk together. So even though you're not going to eat it officially, but you can't even cook it. So therefore, for a chef to go to a culinary school to learn how to cook, he has to go find a Jewish frum program that doesn't cook meat and milk together. And that's where you have to learn how to cook. But you can't do it. Or another case, which all the Rabbanim will tell you happens, people try to get a job, girls need a place to board. So they board with an older couple, and they take care of them. And meanwhile, they have free room and board, so to speak. Now, a lot of times, these people are not
religious,
or goyim for that matter, and they want to eat meat and milk together. So then the girl, whoever it is, the boarder is going to cook meat and milk together for them. You're not allowed to. Number one, just cooking is forbidden. Secondly, if they're Jewish, you're not allowed to give a Jew non-kosher food. Or even for that matter, as we mentioned before, if somebody wants to work in a trefer restaurant as a cook, you're not allowed to, besides the fact that you're cooking meat and milk together, besides the fact you're benefiting from meat and milk together because you're getting paid for it, there's another problem. You might come and taste the food. Because chefs, by nature, taste the food. Just make sure it's good. So if it's treif, it's not kosher, then you're going to come maybe to, God forbid, eat it. And therefore, there's a big shaila in halacha. And these come up more than you think they do, by the way. Being a busboy or a waiter in a treifa restaurant, are you allowed to be a busboy or waiter in a treifa restaurant? And part of the problem is, number one, if a Jew comes in and orders non-kosher food, and you bring it to them, it's a shalom, maybe lefneiva, maybe what's called mesayeli de aveda, but the bottom line is you're helping a Jew sin. So it's a very, very big problem, all those things. Yeah, I know. Those the delivery things is not the same shaila, because you're not giving it directly to them. You leave it outside the door, number one. You're not giving it to them directly, like you would buy food, you're putting it down. And secondly, you can go by a din that Reva Goyim, who you're delivering to. I mean, there's a lot of hetay. I'm not saying it's the best thing. But there's a lot of hetedim to be delivery boys and that. But to work in a restaurant itself is another chash that you might come to taste the food. A delivery boy hopefully won't taste your food. He's delivering it. Even though today you can't know anything. Okay, so that's... So it goes even further. Because you're not allowed to eat meat and milk together, you're not allowed to bake a dairy bread. Or a meat bread. Okay, you want to use schmaltz, whatever. I don't know what it's going to taste like, but use, so you're going to use a tray for, you're not allowed to. You can't make it milchik or fleishik. Said in Shechon Aruch, why? It said, Mamashad din Shechon Aruch. Why? Because bread is something that you eat with dairy and with milk. I mean, with meat. Bread is something you eat in every type of a meal. Somebody might bake a milchik bread, and somebody might not know that, and they'll see bread, a family member will see bread in the house, and they go eat it. So the only time it's allowed, it says in Shechon Aruch, two things. If you bake a small amount that will completely be eaten at that time, number one, or if you make it a completely different shape than normal bread. If you make a completely different shape than normal bread, then people will know that this bread is not normal bread, and therefore they'll check into it, and they'll see that it's dairy. But otherwise, you're not allowed to bake dairy bread or bread with meat in it. Another thing is, two people that know each other, and let's see, two co-workers, and they come to work, and they're eating lunch together at a cafeteria. And one is bringing a deli sandwich, and one brings a cheese sandwich. So the din is, if they know each other, they're not allowed to sit next to each other. Why? Because we're afraid, in the middle of the meal, the guy might, they know each other, and they're sitting next to each other. They're sheer. You take my piece of mine here, taste this, like people do, and they'll come, God forbid, to eat meat and milk together. So therefore, you wouldn't be allowed to do that. Unless it's social distancing, yeah. Unless in that it says if you put up a hecker, something in between them to remind them that they shouldn't be sharing the food. Or if, let's say, everybody has their own placemat, let's say. You have your placemat and your friend has a placemat. So then itself will remind you that it's interesting. This doesn't exist today. But if any of you will speak to your grandparents, at least in America, or in Europe, for that matter. There was a custom that blue is dairy and red is meat. That was the old tradition. Anything red is meat, anything blue is dairy. And if, God forbid, the bubbis, you know, the granddaughter or the does would buy a set of dishes for meat and it would be blue trimming, they would blow a gut. You have a gut tray for house. It's mamish treif. Blue is dairy and you're buying it for fleishik. You can't do that. And then they would blow a gut. But it was very good because then people knew what was dairy and what was meat. And it was universal. So whenever you came into somebody's house, a red tablecloth was fleishik, a blue tablecloth was dairy, and everybody knew what it was. In fact, a lot of times, and this all Rabbanim will tell you, they get shyless, people have identical knives or identical serving pieces for meat and milk, which is the most ridiculous thing. How are you supposed to know? They get mixed up. How are you going to know which one was the meat one, which was the milk one? So in the Yiddish houses, they have different types of cutlery for dairy, different types for meat, different serving pieces. They just, to make sure that they don't come, God forbid, to mix meat and milk together. And the problem is, by the way, the bigger problem is when people use dishwashers and you find dairy dishes in a meat dishwasher or meat dishes in a dairy dishwasher, that becomes a big shaila. Not only on the dishes, on the dishwasher, it could be make a big problem. Now, usually, when people wash, let's say people have housekeepers, like you said many times, there's two and a half people that make problems in the kitchen, in kashrus. One of the husbands, one of the maids, and half the time the kids. But the main problem is the husband and the maids. And then you can't imagine how many times women call me up. My husband didn't know his milk and conflation, and he did, and he didn't. And it's a terrible. Or the maid, or something, they wash meat and milk together. So if the water is not hot, then halachically it's not a problem. Because it's not, remember, heat causes the absorption of the meat and the milk. In a dishwasher, the water is usually very hot. Now, even with the sink, the Rav will usually ask the question, did they wash with their hands or did they use gloves? Because most people, by the way, don't wash with very hot water. And if they do, they're going to wear gloves because they're going to burn their hands, right, if the water gets very hot. So most people never use very hot water to wash dishes. So a lot of times, if they wash by hand, you can assume, sometimes, depending also how hot the water gets. Some sinks, the water gets very hot, and some sinks, the hot water doesn't get very hot. So you have to know, there's a lot of details in the mixing of the meat and the milk together. In fact, in many places, in Kitzur brings down, they would make a mark on the knives even, because those days they didn't have different types of knives. They would have a mark, either dairy or some people would write, you can't write, some people would write M and F, milk and fleishik, but if you speak English, then you can't, M would be meat. So then you'd have to write D for dairy, so whatever. But as long as people do things in a way that they know that it separate the meat from the milk and in fact, there's another din also in Shulchan Aruch, that what happens if you have, let's say, by your Shabbos meal, you take out chal and you put it on the table, and then you have leftover chal, you put it back into the bag, and then Sunday morning you want to make a dairy French toast with milk. It's not so simple, halachically, because if people touch the bread, the challah, with their dairy, with the meat hands, with meat on it, so then the bread is the meat. Then you can't make it with milk in French toast. So these are all issues people have to discuss. We'll learn also, Mitzvah Shem, tomorrow night, about salt shakers and spices. You know, can you imagine? You have a boiling hot pot of soup that's steaming up, of chicken soup, And somebody takes a salt shaker and goes like this and pours it over the chicken soup in the pot. Now, if the steam comes up and it hits the salt shaker and there's holes in the salt shaker, the steam of the chicken goes into the salt, making the salt meat. And then you can't use that salt for milchix or vice versa.
Does it say a lot of milk in here?
Huh?
Doesn't the conversation say a lot of milk?
It's not so simple.